The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Excuse me!
What? What?
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
We don't just set the bar. We are the bar.
Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Welcome to the experience that is the High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter Brian Berger, back from Vegas, baby. You can follow us on Facebook, also on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at High Spot Podcast, and also our brand spanking new website, highspotpodcast.com. Trendsetter, what is going on, my man? So much to talk about, so little time. Plus, we've got Sawyer Fulton, formerly of NXT, and Sanity. He will join us today. Great show lined up, Trendsetter. What's going on?
What's going on? It's good, man. You know, we always have a great show lined up for the crew here. And I'm still trying to recuperate from Las Vegas. It was great doing adventures with the Trendsetter and Jeff, my tag team partner, tagging along and helping me out with the camera work. But again, also, if you guys like the Hotspot Podcast and like the adventures of the Trendsetter, you guys can follow us and leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. You can also check out the audio quality on SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, and Poppy. And don't forget, also, we're also available on the various networks. Proud to be part of Cheap Pops Podcast Network, The Shining Wizards, and B-Plus Radio Network as well, Jeff.
Oh, man, great to be part of Cheap Pops Podcast Network. Finally, dream come true. Thanks so much to Brian Fritz and Michael Weissman for inviting us. It's going to be a great ride. We promise to do the very best we can to make this network something big. And again, thank you, Brian Fritz, for entrusting us into being this just part of the network. So it's great stuff, man. And Sawyer Fulton kicks it off. Last week we had Marty Elias, but man, just talk about the Vegas trip. Talk about the Vegas experience, Trendsetter. How was it? Was everything they said it was going to be? Whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Just talk about that real quick.
Well, that's not true. Whatever happens in Vegas doesn't stay there. Now, social media, everybody has a camera on their phones. You have to be on your best behavior. It was good, man. It was exciting. It was fun. It was definitely a new experience, something I wanted to try out. So I kind of ventured out and tried to put us all together. And I thank you for tagging along and helping me out. And it's probably something that you weren't looking forward to, but you're trying to do me a solid and a favor. And you ended up having a good time, too. It was definitely another world that was opened up to you. And I didn't see you complain any time during the trip. But it was fun, dude. I liked it. Expectation-wise, I wasn't going with any expectations. But again, when you go to events like this, Jeff, it'd be similar to going to WrestleCon or going to an Access event. Everybody's there. Press is there. You're trying to conduct interviews. And sometimes you'll run into some really good interviews. And sometimes you'll run into some pretty tough ones. And, luckily enough for me, more times than not, 9 times out of 10, everybody I was able to interview came out really good. They were very happy to do it. I was very grateful for it. They really put effort in. And then you had those few that really didn't act like they wanted to be there. But anyway, regardless of that, it was a great trip. I had so much fun. And like I said, when we put this out on our YouTube channel, guys, if you guys check out our YouTube channel, High Spot Podcast, that's our brand new YouTube channel. It's up and running. We've got exclusive interviews with stars such as, professional wrestling, new Impact Tag Team Champions, LAX, Alberto El Patron, Sienna the Savage, Bull Club members, the villain Marty Skrull and Adam Hangman Page, Jay Lethal, Josh Woods. Plus, you can also catch the videos like I was talking about, Adventures with the Trends, or my little mini-series there. Really exciting, and I can't wait to put this out. And if people like it and they, comment on it and find us on social media and our website too and say, hey, we want you to keep doing it, I will keep doing it. So this is kind of an experiment, a test. I think it was a successful one. So I can't wait to see what the future holds for the Trendsetter.
So, of course, we have all these things available. Plus, we're not only talking about professional wrestling. We'll dabble with some MMA as well as some entertainment you know, any form of entertainment. So be on the lookout for that. That's what we want to offer the Cheap Pops Podcast Network, because it's not just wrestling on that show. You know, you've got great shows on that network. And, you know, we've had a chance to listen to a bunch here on the plane and on the way to Philly for NXT TakeOver. Again, this is Brian Fritz's baby alongside Michael Weissman and their flagship show here on the network. Between the Ropes, you can catch their show. Plus, you got shows like Cosmetic Geppetto, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling with Steve Myers and Justin Simmons, two guys from Austin, Texas that talk professional wrestling, as well as Stick to the Gimmick with Spencer Davies and Martin Harp. They talk about NXT and just all that, you know, sticking to the scripts and what exactly, you know, your character and, you know, what it takes to develop that as your professional wrestler. So a lot of in-depth stuff here on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network, as well as Shining Wizards, too. You've got A Drink with Gino, Destruction 101. You've also got A Genuine Taste of Wrestling. So many shows, variety, too, here on the networks, too. So glad to be a part of it. But, Bri, a lot of news to get to, man. I mean, just wrestling never stops. We think, okay, we're in Vegas for AVN.
Especially last weekend.
Yeah, we're in Vegas for AVN. The XFL opens up, so that's crazy. It'll begin in 2020. Enzo Amore gets released after Raw 25. With all those issues, I mean, it's just mind-boggling how, you know, someone that has everything at their fingertips just could mess it up like he did, and that's just unbelievable. But we start off with the Royal Rumble weekend, and what an amazing time it was, from NXT TakeOver to the Royal Rumble to Monday Night to SmackDown Live. But what I want to start with you is big news about signings for the WWE, and that is one of Jeremy Borash signing with WWE. This guy has been the backbone for Impact Wrestling. I mean, he's been there forever, and now seems like he was in Philly for the weekend to see some friends, but Triple H would not let him leave without signing a contract, and that is the case. Jeremy Borash joins WWE. Your thoughts?
I think it's a great signing by WWE. You can never have enough quality of talent there, especially when it comes to announcing or just interviewing skills. Where does he fit in WWE? I have no idea, though.
If you were to ask me that,
or production, yeah. You know, but where does he fit right now in terms NXT of on screen?
NXT. I don't know. Join WWE developmental. So
that's, there you go. I think that's a perfectly good spot for him right now, and you know, just I don't know if it's WWE opening up the little piggy bank, Jeff, but you know, they really seem to be able to acquire really good talent. Just always, you know, whether it be on screen talent, whether it be talent in the ring, or talent like you said in terms of production. They always seem to try to find a place for him, but sometimes there might be too many fish in that pond. But, you know, I'm sure Jeremy will find a good spot there. He wouldn't agree to it if it wasn't something that he was looking forward to. And sometimes, you know, he's been part of that whole TNA Impact world for so many years. Maybe he just needed to kind of refresh himself and do something new and different. And this is something definitely different with the number one company in the world.
And then, of course, you can't get away from the whole Ronda Rousey story now.
Can we get away from it, please?
Why? Well, I mean, isn't it good for WWE that they have the headlines? You seem like you're annoyed by it. Why are you annoyed by it?
I'm not annoyed by it. I'm just kind of
talk about it.
I'm just kind of like, okay, it happened. We kind of knew it was going to happen. So what's the big deal? I get, you know, if you want to compare it to a Floyd Mayweather, you want to compare it to, you know, Mike Tyson type scenario too. Okay, cool. That's definitely going to bring more mainstream media to your event because, you know, ESPN, all these events were talking about it. All these networks are talking about Ronda Rousey signing with the WWE. The only thing that maybe annoyed me a little bit too in terms of the timing of it, but again, you know, it doesn't fall on me. Do I run the company? No, I don't. But you know, you would think that some of the talent would be annoyed for the mere fact that they try to conduct a lot of history, the first ever Women's Royal Rumble. You have that moment for Asuka. You have that moment where you're going to see, okay, who is going to be the first person she's going to challenge for the championship at WrestleMania? And then you have Ronda Rousey kind of take the spotlight away. Was it necessary to have Ronda there? That could be a debate for another time. It's cool. But then I heard somebody say, and I won't mention any names here, but somebody say, you know, the mere fact now that she signed with WWE makes those two losses she had to Holly Holm and Amanda Nunes completely meaningless. I'm like, does it really? I mean, is she the equivalent of a Brock Lesnar, Jeff, where, you know, his final match in the UFC prior to obviously facing Mark Hunt, which now is a no contest because it never happened, theoretically, because he failed the drug test. he got his ass handed to him by Cain Velasquez and came back, and they had to rebuild him as a monster. Does Ronda Rousey fit that type of scheme too, where because she'd been dominant for so many long and then got exposed theoretically, that she's going to be that dominant a force? Because now she's a full-timer. She's not coming in one and out type of deal.
I don't think of that. I honestly don't. I think of her name.
Well, that's the problem. You don't think. That's the deal.
Oh,
you don't think of things like that, Jeff.
No, I don't honestly think about that.
So her name has that much value to you.
I think it has that much value. Okay. Because right now ESPN is covering it. So if they were like, oh, well, she's a loser, then they wouldn't be. So I think her name supersedes her losses. Yeah, it was Holly Holm, Mandy Nunez, of course. But honestly, I think that it's a whole different case because here is a person that kind of, yes, Brock Lesnar was amazing in the UFC, but I think what Ronda Rousey was, you could even say she started this whole woman's movement. So I think that what she's done is she's superseded this. So I think her name alone will be just fine. And I do think that I think enough about that to think that her name alone will do it. So a lot of people like yourselves, like yourself, and I was like, you're not more than one person, but Sasha Banks has an issue with it. She was on Busted Open, and she said, I have nothing nice to say, so I won't say anything at all. Nia Jax kind of tweeted out, you know, her level of, okay, she's here, but...
So the Bella Twins?
Yeah, you know, the Bella Twins. I think that's a work. I think Sasha, really, though, she lets her emotions sometimes get the best of her, so I think that she's really speaking on raw emotion. I'm not sure about the other females. I think it's kind of like... You know,
well, Nia Jax hasn't been one to kind of shy away from kind of saying what's on her mind. We've had to kind of debate, you and I, off air, that, you know, Nia Jax basically being so still new to the business, although her legacy in terms of her family isn't new to the business, kind of really putting her, you know, shifting her weight around, kind of saying things that you would think maybe a 10-year veteran would have the ability to say. But yeah, I don't think it's a work. I think that it's real. I think competition or that type of hostility is somewhat healthy, but at the same time, you know, it's understandable because as much as we joke about how sometimes Sasha takes things a little too seriously or takes things too personally sometimes, but at the same time, you know, you and I had this debate. You kind of agreed with me, and now it looks like you're kind of leaning the other way where, you know, you should have left that at that moment. Was it really necessary to bring Ronda Rousey during the Royal Rumble? It'd be debate everybody would talk about.
No, I would have liked it if Asuka would have made her decision, but when you went to Raw, she didn't even make her decision then. Because you don't know who's going to be the women's champion because they kind of did like a whole elimination chamber now for the female. So yeah. You don't know exactly what she's going to do. So now that I had a day to think about it, what I liked Asuka that she did was that she slapped Ronda Rousey's hand. And I think showing that she has no fear, which I think that Charlotte and kind of Alexa Bliss kind of froze at that moment where they could have done something. Asuka was able to do it again and just adds more to her mystique, to what makes her so good. And you know what? I think Asuka, you know, will become the new women's champion. Whether it's SmackDown or Raw, we'll yet to find out. But what's the future going to be for Ronda Rousey? Is she can't just come in and then just vie for the title. She can point at the WrestleMania sign all she wants, but it looks more like it's going to be a pairing with her and somebody yet to be determined against Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. What do you think if that's her role at WrestleMania?
If that's her role and that's what, you know, people were talking about, I mean, everybody was wanting to see Charlotte and Ronda Rousey. I think that was the money fight everybody wanted to see. Could she stand toe-to-toe with a Charlotte? I don't think so, no matter how many times. I mean, this is the equivalent of CM Punk, you know, training for almost a year and a half in mixed martial arts with no experience at all. It would be the same thing with Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, on the wrestling side.
From the wrestling side. So, yeah, if you do this, it makes more sense. The only benefit, like I said before, is what I mentioned prior, is that, you know, she signed in as a full-time wrestler. She's 120% committed to it, which is good to see. Sometimes,
and she's a fan.
She's a fan, and you've seen people sign and, you know, been one- or two-shot deals, and then they leave because they have no interest in wanting to continue. So with this, yeah, it makes sense. It's a slow build for Ronda as the megastar she is and them wanting to build off her momentum of what she has. She still has to kind of work her way in because it's not something very natural to her. So she's definitely have to she's going to be really green with the first time she steps in there. She's probably going to be really nervous and scared. So when you work with someone like Stephanie or Triple H, maybe they can kind of hope, you know, hopefully – you know, tailor it to make her look good. So who's going to be your partner? I don't know. Maybe, you know, The Rock. You know, we saw that at WrestleMania 31 where they had the little mini fight in the ring, that little segment there. That could be a possibility. I mean, Rock wouldn't have to do much.
Or Braun.
Or Braun Strowman. That's another possibility, too.
Or Kurt Angle.
Yeah, I mean...
Remember, their issue's not settled, too. Triple H did eliminate Kurt Angle, so that could be another person that
true.
Steps in.
I didn't think that part. Yeah, Kurt Angle could definitely work his way in there as well. Olympic gold medalist trying to obviously exact some revenge on Triple H for eliminating him at the Survivor Series.
See, to me, Braun needs to be rewarded because he's been the best booked guy at Mania. We'll get into WrestleMania, you know, down the road and booking for that.
But well, it's right down the road, man. We're on the road to WrestleMania right now.
That's right. The road starts started Sunday. So a guy like Braun, for example, who I think should be rewarded. I wouldn't mind seeing a triple threat between Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, and Braun Strowman for the WWE Championship. And I don't know, depending on what we find out from Roman Reigns, whether it is important. I don't see it all being important if, you know, he gets you know, accused or there's evidence of steroid use. To me, it really doesn't bother me whatsoever. But if, you know, WWE is a publicly traded company, their image might be a reason. You put the strap on Braun Strowman. I wouldn't mind walking away from New Orleans on WrestleMania 34 and seeing Braun Strowman the new champion.
Well, the thing is, for me personally, I'm kind of sick and tired of triple threat matches, myself personally. The whole Kane, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman at the Royal Rumble, was enough. I want to see some one-on-one matches. You're right. A lot of it depends on what's going on with Roman Reigns, but if you've built it up since the beginning that these two are going to square off again and you're building Brock Lesnar as this guy who's beaten them, has beaten all of them, even Braun Strowman, and you want Roman to be the next guy, I don't see how, as much as you want to reward Braun Strowman for everything he's done, how that works itself out because he's been dominant, even in losses. But the mere fact that I see him walking out with the title, I don't know. I think finding out what happens with Roman Reigns will kind of adhere to like what direction they're going to go into. But I don't know. I mean, at this point right now, could you really see anybody besides Braun Strowman defeat Brock Lesnar for the title?
Yeah, I mean, it's either Roman or Braun Strowman. Yeah. So, but I would love to see Braun do it. I think he deserves it. I think he's been booked so well. Why not give him the championship? I don't know what they're waiting for. I mean, he's so over, and he just continues to pick things up and throw him over Kane or Brock Lesnar. So, Royal Rumble, Shinsuke Nakamura wins the Royal Rumble match itself.
Yes.
I have no problem with it whatsoever because it leads to AJ Styles and Nakamura. It looks like AJ is going
to keep the championship. The match we always wanted to see.
Looks like AJ is going to keep the championship all the way to Mania. Now, who wins that match, we don't know yet, but it's going to be a classic. Gives us a reason to sit through if they give us Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. So I'm not too disappointed now. Talk about Nakamura. Talk about how now is this the right way to push him? He's kind of been, you know, not booked correctly ever since he's come up to the main roster. Just real quick, though, you happy with Nakamura? You're happy with AJ and Nakamura at WrestleMania? You know, what happens as we head into New Orleans now between these two?
All I can say, Jeff, is it's about damn time we get this. I mean, you're one that's a huge advocate for the fact that the way they were booking Shinsuke Nakamura, the way his momentum from NXT to the main roster was poorly used, and you know, going to this whole artist thing and him not really translating from NXT to the main roster was more, was it his issue? Was more of a management issue? Who knows? But anyway, they've kind of tried to write that wrong in a way, and now he's the winner of the Royal Rumble. So I'm excited for him. Trying to kind of overlook and oversee everything that happened in the past with Shinsuke. This is the ability now where, you know, we could talk a little later on, obviously, about who's going to win this match. But again, does it really matter? Because this is going to give the fans the ability, if this is the main event for WrestleMania, which they've kind of said it is going to be, what a great main event. I mean, we want to talk about Wrestle Kingdom and Jericho and Omega and Omega and Okada. I mean, this has the ability of really being one of the best matches in WrestleMania history because of the talent these two guys possess. So I think it's rightful for AJ to main event WrestleMania as a champion. It's good for Shinsuke. And, you know, hopefully maybe this opens the doors now where Shinsuke Nakamura can become more of the star he was in Japan rather than, you know, supporting character on the main roster, which I don't think he deserves to be.
All in all, in general, your thoughts on the Royal Rumble match itself, and not only that, but also the whole card. Just your thoughts. Did you think it was a thumbs up or thumbs down in general for the Royal Rumble?
So you're asking me about the whole card in general, and then the Royal Rumble, the men's Royal Rumble match itself?
Well, give me just the whole thing. The whole Royal Rumble. Was it the whole Royal Rumble, a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
I give it a thumbs up. I'm not going to give it a number because there's obviously good and bads behind it. But I would say all in all, successful. Continue the storylines. It progressed things to where we didn't think it was going to happen. So now Shinsuke, kind of refresher thing for Shinsuke and SmackDown Live. And then for the women's division, we have Asuka, who's been dominant ever since she came from NXT. So I can't wait. I think those two ultimately were the pillars of the show being successful. And they both worked their way out a little bit. I like the women's Royal Rumble match a little bit better than the men's for the nostalgia factors there. I mean, you see the legends like Torrey Wilson, Trish Stratus, Lita. The list goes on and on. It's a pretty exciting event to watch.
What was your thumbs up and thumbs down for the men's Rumble and the women's Rumble?
My thumbs up for the Royal Rumble. The men's was obviously Shinsuke winning. Thumbs down the fact that I saw it really being, you know, I thought it was going to be a passing theoretically the torch here. It was going to be more, let's have Finn Balor and Shinsuke as the final two.
That would have been great.
And that would have been just amazing. And then, you know, I would have no problem Shinsuke winning it. And Finn Balor had a terrific performance at the Rumble. And then for thumbs up, obviously Asuka winning, thumbs down. I think you kind of talked about, again, you know, the spot that happened towards the end with Nikki Bella, you know, a phantom kick to the knee, kind of a little spoiled the ending there, but that's probably the only thing I'd grab about the women's Royal Rumble.
My thumbs up for the men was definitely Nakamura, but also good seeing Rey Mysterio come back, looked in great shape, hopefully get a deal done. He wants to be part-time, WWE wants him to be full-time, hopefully they come up on agreement, because what a pop he received. So funny, a few years ago, because he wasn't Daniel Bryan, he got booed in Philly, and then he comes out number 27 this year, and he gets a huge pop from the Philly crowd, so it's weird. But Rey Mysterio...
It's like they wanted to make up for that, basically.
Yeah, a one-time thing. Well, because it wasn't Daniel Bryan. I don't think it was anything to make up there. It just, you know, Rey Mysterio at any event is great, and we hadn't seen him in years, so you could see him back. My thumbs down, I guess, was Dolph Ziggler. What the hell was that? What importance was he at number 30? It was just, to me, a wasted opportunity. So you take the guy out for a month. He relinquishes the U.S. title, puts it down, comes back at number 30, and, you know, what does he do? Gets eliminated 3 minutes later? I mean, it's just, you know, it's brutal. I mean, it just makes no sense. One of the worst booked guys in years, I can imagine, has been Dolph Ziggler. And, of course, thumbs up to me. When you talk about the Women's Royal Rumble, what I love so much is just the nostalgia factor that you said. I love the face-to-face between Nia Jax and Beth Phoenix. That was something that I didn't even expect that was going to pop over. But when you see them both, it's like, wow, I'd love to see this match. And then, of course, Trish and Mickey James rekindling their rivalry. That it was amazing, too, to see. And I guess a thumbs down for me would be, you know, just Bayley missing in the act. I mean, she came out.
Bayley's in the Rumble?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's just another thing of how far Bayley has fallen down in the women's division. So those are my thumbs up and thumbs down. But just an enjoyable Royal Rumble as we head to WrestleMania. We are on the road to WrestleMania. So looking forward to that. So much to talk about. We'll tie up some loose ends. We'll talk about NXT. A matchup I think is already match of the year. It kind of eclipses Jericho and Omega, Alpha versus Omega. I think it is the best match so far of 2018. We'll talk about which one I'm talking about then. But we've got to talk to Sawyer Fulton, formerly of NXT and former member of Sanity. Before we get to that, we got to talk about Collar and Elbow. It's an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion, from cool-looking flex-fit caps to great-looking men's and women's shirts. Check out the entire winter fashion line, including brand-new long-sleeve shirts and hoodies. You gotta go to collarxelbowbrand.com. Save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST, all caps. Get 2018 started off the right way. It's Collar and Elbow. And now, our interview with Sawyer Fulton. We talk about Sanity. We talk about NXT. What do you learn from there? His impressions of Jersey for the first time as we did this interview at Pro Wrestling Magic. We also talked about what heavyweights he wants to fight in 2018. And what exactly is on the horizon for Sawyer Fulton? The Madman joins us on the High Spot Podcast right now. All right, the High Spot Podcast. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter, Brian Berga. We are joined by Sawyer Fulton, formerly of WWE NXT, former member of Sanity. First of all, welcome to New Jersey. This is your first time in Jersey.
Yeah, this will be my first pro wrestling match in New Jersey. I've been here before. I think we stayed in like hotels and stuff when we wrestled in New York. But you know, I'm excited to cross this bridge here, get another state off my list.
And what are your impressions of Jersey? What's one thing you notice?
That it's a lot colder than Orlando. first and foremost, that's probably the most important thing I've noticed. No, it's pretty cool. Like, you know, I've enjoyed my time here so far. Eaten way too much. Had a good time at a Comic Book Jones comic shop up on Staten Island. So it's been a pretty good day.
So you actually had pizza today. And was Jersey pizza?
Staten Island pizza.
Okay.
So Brothers Pizza on Richmond Avenue.
Yeah. Really good?
Oh, my God.
Are you out-ate the promoter?
Oh. Like, all I'm hoping is that in my match tonight is that he doesn't figure out how much pizza I eat and that he doesn't punch me in the gut.
Oh, God. Because
if I throw up in the middle of the ring, I'm going to be, you know, very disappointed with myself.
Mm-hmm. Talk about leaving your mark, though, in the ring. Seriously, doing it that way, though.
Yeah, that's a great way to get invited back, huh?
But, Sawyer, looking forward to the main event, something I've always wanted to ask talent, I'm always finding this interesting, is that, you know, starting off, when you go out there and the mindset is to prepping and coming in here and doing stuff. Now, it's one thing, obviously, doing for WWE and going and now doing here on the Independence is another thing. So you're kind of broadening your horizons there. What's the mindset when you get prepared for events like this? Is it a lot of nerves, jitters, more anticipation, anxiety, wanting to get things started?
So, like, right now, I'm great. Like, you know, I'm full of food. I got a lot of mm-hmm. energy. You know, my energy drinks are running pretty well through me right now.
Yeah, of course.
Me as a talent, as a performer, about the time that the first bell rings for the first match is when it'll start setting in for me, and I start getting real nervous. And that, it's always been me. Even when I wrestled in college, if I was wrestling a guy I know I've beaten 100 times and I know I'm going to have no problem with, I still get, you know, you get those nerves. To me, it just shows that, like, you're ready and, like, you're trying to prepare yourself and you care about what's going to happen, you know, tonight. So, you know, for me, a big thing for me is just overcoming those nerves and making sure you're properly stretched out and warmed up, especially in a cold climate like this. You know, and that's, I mean, that's pretty much my mindset going into matches, is just staying warm and you know, keeping myself confident.
Here's my question. When you wrestle for NXT, you wrestle in smaller venues than you will be here tonight. Do you like that kind of atmosphere, or do you kind of like maybe, you know, taking a dab in arenas? What kind of atmosphere do you prefer being at? Is this more cozy, more comfortable for you?
So I think there's a lot of positives to both, right? So being in an atmosphere like this, or like a lot of the smaller places we wrestled in NXT, right? Everybody is working on developing themselves as wrestlers and becoming better people and better wrestlers. So there's a lot of matches that happen on live events that are absolutely astounding that no one's going to get to see unless you show up.
Yeah.
Like tonight, you know, whatever happens in my match and however good it is, the only people who are ever going to get to experience that are the people that actually come to the show tonight and be part of that. And I think that's sort of the magic, no pun intended, but the magic of wrestling in a smaller venue like this, or, you know, how NXT was. And you really get to experience a side of wrestling that you don't really get to see in the arenas. Now, when you're in the arenas and you have, like, thousands and thousands of people, it's a whole different animal, right? That adrenaline and the cheering and everything, you literally feel people yelling at you. And you there's a whole different energy to everything. So I think it's definitely a different positive and a completely different vibe when you wrestle there as compared to here. Here, as you said, is a lot more intimate, but, like, you know, it's good, like, you know, I like being in front of the people. You know, I was born to wrestle. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. And, you know, tonight at Pro Wrestling Magic, like, I'm going to show everybody who shows up tonight exactly why they made the right decision to bear this cold weather and come out here, you know?
What's one thing you can say that you've taken from NXT that you're going to use it now as you are taking a chance on yourself now in 2018? What's one thing that you've learned that, you know, you're going to take in the ring here tonight and just on your journey the rest of the year?
It's a good question, man. You know, I think a big thing through NXT is that you just have to be prepared for whatever comes your way. And you're not always going to be, you know, you're not always going to be ready for the hand that you're dealt, but you got to learn how to play those cards. And that's exactly, you know, what I've been preparing myself to do and exactly what I'm going to do. My opponent tonight, EC Negro, I know almost nothing about. You know, I've watched a few matches on YouTube and I'm trying my best to study him leading up to this. But, you know, I've never met the guy in person. I don't know anything about him. I've never tested his strength physically. When you're in NXT, there's a lot of ability to know who your opponent's going to be. You see them working out. You see what they do in ring. You watch them practice. Here, this is a whole different animal. So I think, you know, one thing that I've prepared myself with in NXT is being ready for anything, and that's going to come in handy tonight.
Now, being ready for anything is you know, what's exciting about 2018 is that Jeff and I talked about, you know, anything can happen because that ability to have things, like, unpredictable, you can't really predict things. 2018 seems to be such a huge boom, picking up the momentum of 2017. With that being said, now that you're kind of going out and betting on yourself and promoting yourself and not having necessarily anybody else do it for you, how important is social media nowadays from the fact that we talk about it, how, like, now it seems like be the best time if you're in this business or in any business to use social media to your advantage. So how do you use that to utilize your skill set so you can get, you know, get in touch with the fan base?
So one thing for me is I never took advantage of Instagram while I was in WWE. And looking, like, hindsight 2020, mm-hmm. you know, I regret that completely. I just, you know, I didn't have that ability. I didn't want to share a bunch of pictures. I didn't want to do anything. But now, like, that's a whole avenue of being able to reach out to people that I'm lacking. My Twitter has over 30,000 followers on it. So that's really good on getting the word out about where I am and what I'm doing. But now I have this whole thing that I could have been building in NXT that I failed myself upon. You know, yeah, I'm working better on building it now, but a lot of stuff, like, you know, I live in Florida. I don't live up here. So the only way I can promote to anybody that lives in this area or the surrounding area is all I can do on social media. And that's it. That's all I have at my disposal. So really, you're in anybody really on an independent circuit, like, your success depends on your ability to connect to your fans. And right now, connecting to your fans means having big social media accounts.
When you were released from NXT, for example, Drew McIntyre, when he got released from WWE, he kind of, you know, got upset, didn't know what to do next. Just the mindset of yourself, did you pick yourself right up and be like, all right, I got to get myself back out there because, you know what, I need to, you know, stay in this business, stay relevant? Or did you take that time and, like, reflect on what kind of went wrong or, you know, something you could have done better? What was your mindset maybe a couple days after you were released from NXT?
You know, it's always kind of a shock and kind of hurtful losing your dream job. Yeah. You know, I was in a great place in my life, and it kind of just came all crumbling down. But there's no sense in looking at it as a negative, and there's no sense on being salty or being angry, because that's not going to lead you anywhere. You know, no matter how angry I get or mad that, you know, I lost that, that'd be looking at it wrong. All that is opening up new doorways to go out and experience more things. You know, if I was still with WWE, I wouldn't have a chance to be here tonight.
Yeah.
You know, if I was still with WWE, I wouldn't have the chance to make it on my own and to do things the way that I truly feel I want to do them. You know, I have nothing holding me back now. Not saying that WWE was holding me back, but, you know, it's on me now, and I can go and I can do these things. There's so much in this world that I want to accomplish that I don't think I could have accomplished within WWE. It's always been one of my dreams to travel to Japan and live there and actually be a part of that culture. You know, I've been taking Japanese lessons and learning all I can about it, and that's, you know, something that I have the ability to do now. You know, knock on wood.
They have a great Japanese restaurant there, by the way. I don't know if you heard, it's TGI Fridays. So,
yes.
So I hear the food is great there. So I think
really, your New Jersey Japanese cuisine there.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Exactly. So, if you get a sponsor, you don't have to pay for anything.
Yeah,
you know, they pay it all for you. Right.
If I could get a sponsorship from TGI Fridays, I would be so happy.
Well, speaking of Japan, though, you know, what did you think about the events that led up to January 4th, Wrestle Kingdom 12? Did you get a chance to watch Jericho versus Kenny Omega and the build-up toward that? I mean, that kind of felt really inspiring from a fan's perspective. Wow, look at this social media buzz that we were talking about before, and look how they're building it up to such a huge event.
They're doing exciting stuff, too, because now if they're going into U.S. eventually, you know, that leads great opportunities for wrestlers like yourself.
Yeah, exactly, and they did such a good job on building that and making it a big thing. I don't know. All my friends and everybody I talk to are pretty much wrestling fans. And there was such a huge buzz about that match. And it's such a blockbuster match. And if you think about the time that it was built, it really wasn't built, like, too far ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you think about the scale of that match, you know, it wasn't announced as far ahead as it could have been.
Like, November-ish, I think.
Yeah, yeah. As compared to, like, you look at, like, a Mayweather-McGregor, that was going on for, you know, like a year leading up to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just the scale of that match and how well it's promoted and how quickly it was done is really amazing. But yeah, like Wrestle Kingdom all the way through was super impressive. And just like, It's a joy to watch. I've always been a wrestling fan. It's, you know, why I'm here is why I'm a, you know, part of it. It's what drove me to become a professional wrestler. And sometimes it's good just to kind of forget that you're a pro wrestler and that what you've learned, and just sit back and enjoy the work of others who are doing what you love.
For example, now that guys like Cody took a chance on themselves, that they decided that, you know, I'm just not benefiting from staying in WWE and not just picking up a paycheck. Guys like the Young Bucks now that are – it's a revolutionary time now in wrestling. It's like a whole new movement now. Talk about something like that where you saw Cody's success and other wrestlers that are having success. And does that inspire you saying, hey, you know what, though? Like, the door is always open. I can always come back, but I just got to better myself.
Yeah, so around the time, around the time of War Games in NXT, was right when I started realizing that they really weren't. I felt they weren't taking me seriously, and no matter what kind of ideas I pitched or storylines I wanted to go with or try, I really wasn't making any headway. And I talked to a few people that are close to me, Cassius Ohno and Steve Corino, about, you know, wanting to leave and as you said, like, betting on yourself if I wasn't going to be used at War Games. And Steve Corino was actually very against it. He wanted me to stay and work hard. So when the release happened, you know, it wasn't, you know, it was hard, you know, I wasn't too upset about it. It's more just ripping off a Band-Aid. And I feel guys like Cody, guys, Sami Callihan, who left to bet on themselves, and then guys like, you know, the Young Bucks and Omega and all these guys that could easily go to WWE if they wanted to and make a name for themselves and do a lot, don't have to. They don't need to make a living for themselves. And that's what's cool about, you know, the independent
Hot Topic
scene
shirts,
right now.
Like, I mean, like, you get a better deal on Hot Topic than you would from getting money or revenue from a t-shirt in WWE.
Yeah, you know, and it's cool. As you said, it's a revolutionary time. And you know, I hope to be able to get to a point that I can just sustain myself through wrestling and I don't have to worry about another job, and I can just live this life, because that's what I want to do, and that's what I'm working hard for.
One final one for me. Something about this business that always intrigues me, too, is that there's such a huge learning curve. I mean, people think you've been in the business for 5, 6, 10, 15 years, and you're still constantly learning, as I'm sure yourself are. At this stage in 2018, it's one thing to always, you know, focus on your strengths, but also address your weaknesses. At what point do you feel that you still need to grow in this business? What do you see from yourself objectively, like, this is what I need to work on to be a better version of myself in 2018?
So, for me, the whole... I don't want to say it's a new experience being on the independent scene, but it's a newer experience. When I first started in pro wrestling, I trained at a small school in Mansfield, Ohio, called ASWA, under the Living Nightmare Jimmy Lee. And I was on the independent scene, but I was basically just showing up to shows and setting up a ring and hoping someone didn't show up so I could get a match.
Yeah.
And that's all it was. And I was just grateful to be around a ring. And now with my time in WWE and trying to make a living off of this, you know, I have to learn how to network and how to sell myself and how to make a living off of this. And that's a whole new experience for me. It's something that I need to learn how to do better for myself. In the ring, you know, being physical and being active and fighting and wrestling, that's all stuff that I've learned how to do with WWE. Now I have to be able to do the part that WWE handled for me, and that's finding matches, and that's booking matches, and that's promoting myself and getting myself out there and traveling and doing everything. That's a whole new road for me, but, you know, I'm excited to travel it, and I'm excited to learn how to navigate those waters.
And one final one for me, two quick ones.
No, Jeff, you said one. Come on, don't be selfish.
No. I know the pizza's setting in, so I got to wrap
exactly.
this up really quick.
I'm getting hungry, too.
What got you into this business? What made you want to be a professional wrestler?
So, honestly, I don't remember the first match that I watched.
No.
I have like papers from like kindergarten saying that I want to be a pro wrestler, but I don't have memories going that far back.
Oh, okay.
I remember the only place I grew up on a small farm in Ohio, right? The only place in our property that you could even get the channel for wrestling was in my dad's barn. So my brother and I used to go out there and we would watch wrestling at night when we were supposed to be in bed. You know, we just climb out the window and go out, and we turn on a TV that my dad had in his barn.
Rebellious times.
Yeah, right?
should be watching wrestling. You should be sleeping.
Attitude era, right? Attitude.
But there's a match. I have the date because it's an important match for me. It's like December, I think of like 2002, something like that. And it was Shawn Michaels versus Triple H in Fort Worth, Texas, for the title. And, they're going back and forth as this huge match. Finally, Shawn Michaels hits a sweet chin music, and he falls backwards over Triple H. And, you get the 1, 2, 3. The ref raises his hand. Here comes another one, raises Triple H's hand because all four shoulders were down. I think it's a return of Stone Cold at that time. So we were off on Christmas break, and I remember going back to school, and it was still actually bothering me. And I remember that's in my mind, like that's the first time I remember being physically upset about something that's happened in professional wrestling, and I couldn't wrap my mind around it. And I went to school, and like I was complaining about it, and I was just thinking about it. I was trying to talk to my friends about it, see what they thought. And a kid from my school decided that he was going to break the news that. And maybe it was set up that way and it didn't happen exactly how I imagined. I did not take that too well. And actually, the first Saturday school I ever received was punching a kid in the face for telling me wrestling was fake. Mm. And it was all because of that match. Yeah. So, like, a lot of people ask me, what got you into wrestling? Like, I remember watching Little Bits as kids, but, like, the first specific match I remember was that and just how much it impacted me as a kid of just being angry that something went the way I didn't want it to go.
Yeah.
Do you find it funny you have a better appreciation of it now as a performer actually in it than a fan? You see it now from both perspectives?
Become a performer, like, it is both good and bad because you can see it from that perspective and how much they had to work to be able to create that feeling.
That emotion that you felt.
And that emotion that you felt. But at the same time, it kind of robs you of that childhood wonder of, it's
like how the magic tricks performed in a way, how the illusions performed.
Once you see behind, once you see underneath the curtain, and once you see that, there's a hole in the back of the box, like it gets to you a little bit, and in a way, like I still enjoy professional wrestling a great, great deal, but I enjoy it for different reasons now. I enjoy it for the physical aspect and how that emotion can be built and how good guys like Shawn Michaels and Triple H are at making you feel every single thing that they do in the ring. And it just gives you a new goal, a new perspective on what you need to be able to accomplish in the ring.
Well, again, my final one, and this is ending it all, 2018, you're starting out now on the independent scene. Who is the one name you got to cross off your list first that you want to really are looking forward to stepping in the ring? Hopefully a promoter sets something up for you. Who's the one guy that you really want to touch yourself against?
So, I've made a lot of friends in WWE, guys like Sami Callihan, Seth Lesser, Simon Grimm.
Okay.
Sorry. Josh Woods, Paul Dempsey. Like, I made so many friends, and I would love to wrestle them. But for me as a performer, I want to be able to establish myself as a big guy. I want to be able to establish myself as one of the top heavyweights in professional wrestling. And to me, those are guys like, Jeff Cobb, Ace Romero, Willie Mack.
Keith Lee.
Hold on a second.
He's getting there.
Because you said, what's the one name you want to cross off your list?
Oh, you spoiled it.
You spoiled the surprise.
We were just talking about it too. Showmanship, yes. Jeff. You just ruined it.
Keith Lee, to me, watching the way he moves and the way he wrestles, and I've always been impressed. I've watched his stuff on YouTube for a long time, and, I know a lot about him, and that's just one of those guys that, if you had to give me a name that I want to face, it would be him.
Because sign me up.
If I'm going to establish myself as a top heavyweight, I need to go after the top heavyweights. And to me, that's Keith Lee.
Wrestling magic, make it happen.
Make it happen, and then reinforce that ring to make sure, because it's going to fall apart with these two juggernauts.
Especially that pizza before the match. Definitely want to reinforce the ring. Sawyer Fulton, thank you so much for joining the High Spot Podcast, man. Appreciate it so much.
You,
hope you enjoyed Jersey.
Thank you so much, man.
And again, Sawyer Fulton's World. Where can I find you on Twitter?
Twitter, I am at Fulton World. Instagram, Fulton_World. I definitely need more followers, so please
check him out.
Yeah.
Go.
You know,
I'm doing it right now.
Give me some more on that. You can also find me at prowrestlingtees.com/MadmanFulton. And as far as matches and booking engagements go, you can email me at bookfulton@gmail.com.
Sawyer Fulton, ladies and gentlemen, excited for his match here tonight. The man, the myth, it's his world. Sawyer Fulton.
Can't wait. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
All right, that was Sawyer Fulton, and thanks so much. Had an amazing time. I think he liked Jersey. I think he likes the food in the New York metropolitan area. I think he's just a great guy, and I think he's got a bright future. So thanks to the madman, Sawyer Fulton, for processing magic. Also, thanks to D365 Promotions, Kevin Nasta. Thank you so much for setting that up. Trendsetter, your thoughts on Sawyer Fulton?
He's a mammoth of a man, Jeff. He can eat a lot of pizza.
He's got it, though.
He's got it, you know, full stomach, basically. No, but what I got from speaking to him is, you know, his understanding of the business, his understanding of how, you know, certain things, Jeff, in life don't necessarily fall the way you want them to, but how you kind of readjust and reevaluate things and kind of take your own destiny in your own hands. Kind of like we talked about before, you know, betting on yourself and saying, you know what, if right now isn't the time for me at a certain place, maybe it'll be down there down the road. So it's great to see him on the independent scene. I think he's loaded with talent. He's definitely got a look about him. And to me, it's just, you know, a matter of time to see how he develops, because he talked about it before. You know, we speak about it to nauseam about social media, how important it is, right? But if he's able to grasp that and get his name out there even more on the independent scene and give himself a bigger brand, there's no doubt we'll see him in WWE again.
There's no question, too. I love to see that matchup between him and Keith Lee. Definitely looking forward to that when that happens, too. So Sawyer Fulton, thank you so much. He was our guest on the High Spot Podcast. Again, the interview brought to you by Collar and Elbow. Now, what I want to talk about is a match that I believe it was match of the year, and I'm talking about Johnny Gargano and Andrade Cien Almas. That matchup from beginning to start had everything you could want. It had me on the edge of my seat. I'm not a big fan of false finishes all the time, but this one I just couldn't seem to get enough of.
Unless you're watching New Japan.
Zelina Vega was amazing. I think that the timing was great between her and Candice LeRae. Just the injection also, too, of just the emotion in Gargano's face and seeing almost how good he's become in the past few months, and just how well all he needed was just, you know, the confidence, and the pairing between him and Zelina Vega was awesome, and all combined to me in what was an amazing match. Listen, I said it that day. I tweeted out the next day. I put it on Facebook that, you know, emotion aside, it was probably the greatest match I've ever seen. And, you know, a few days later, I still think it's a top 10 ever. So your thoughts on Andrade Cien Almas and Johnny Gargano?
Look, I would agree with you where, you know, even I said it to you after the match. I said, this is probably, you know, we've been fortunate, Jeff, and I don't say that quite often, but maybe after Vegas, I'll start saying it. We've been fortunate to see a lot of great matches in our life. Personally, sitting in the audience and watching it, this is probably one of the greatest matches I've ever seen live in person in my entire life. From the storyline to the emotions, like you said, all the timing. I don't think I even saw one thing getting botched at all. That's how perfect it was. It was kind of maybe the equivalent, and people are like, Brian, you're kind of crazy for saying this, but maybe my equivalent of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Macho Man Randy Savage. Everything was crisp. Everything worked. But I'm not surprised by it. And the reason why I say I'm not surprised is I know a guy like Johnny Gargano, as talented as he is, and a guy like Andrade Cien Almas, these guys can go. What I am surprised is that WWE actually gave him the platform, gave him the opportunity.
It went over a little bit.
It went over a little bit. And we talked about the fact going into it, man, like I said to you, as we're in the concession stands getting these gigantic pizzas at the Wells Fargo Center, which are so good, by the way. And I thank you, Jeff, for buying my lunch there. I appreciate it. But, you know, I was kind of a little nervous for them because I was like, yo, they're being put on a huge stage. These aren't the huge names we remember for in the past that, you know, their name value alone would sell out the building. People were selling out this. I mean, this could have been the pay-per-view of the no-names in a way. Not to be disrespectful here, but could have been the NXT takeover of the who's who, basically, because you have to figure out who these people are.
Well, really who's who is when it's a lot of people. It's
like, yeah, I'm sorry.
Like,
I missed it.
It's like, who are they?
Who are they type of thing. Okay, I stand corrected there. That was my mistake. But, yeah, because you had to really be invested in the storyline to really be paying attention and want to put your good hard-earned money to see this. But you knew you were going to get quality. That's what NXT is recognized for. So for me, guys like Johnny Gargano showed me, you know, and this might not be over now, you know, in terms of his run for the title might be a little bit side-railed right now because of what happened afterwards with Tommaso Ciampa hitting him in the back with a crutch. I don't know how long Tommaso Ciampa, how much more he's on the shelf for. We'll find out, obviously, as the weeks go by. But I think he still has some unfinished business. I think once he can settle that out, then we can see him in the title run. But he proved to me something that I already knew, that he's got the talent for it, and he can be a main event guy in NXT. And for Andrade, to see a guy who started in NXT, Jeff, with the gimmick, with the mask and trying to be colorful and trying to be playful and Lucha Libre style, it just wasn't working and wasn't clicking. To have this new sense of confidence, which he always had within himself, but now is able to portray it out as a character, as a heel persona. And Zelina Vega, there's no question, you've mentioned it before, and you're right on this. She's been just a huge bonus for him. She's that X factor, like you said before. She's basically the advocate, in a way, the female advocate for a guy like Andrade, who doesn't really need to talk. He could prove it in the ring, and Zelina can be his voice. And they're just a great combination. It works really well. I'm happy for Zelina, or Thea Trinidad, whatever you want to call her. I'm happy for her. I think she's fine. She's figured out who her character is. It's a great combination right now. So I can't wait now to see how long this continues, this run for a guy like Andrade. I hope it continues so we can see a rematch with him and Drew McIntyre. So it's definitely a great main event. It stole the show, basically.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it was just an amazing match. That's a match I could look forward to watching over and over and over. It's on the network, so that's great to see.
Free plug there.
Yeah. What I love about this, too, was that it kind of sets the stage for the next takeover, and that's probably going to be during WrestleMania weekend. So I kind of get the inkling that they're going to do Ciampa versus Gargano, depending on, Ciampa's health and how his knee is doing. And it looks like the man, as much as Synonymous is amazing and how much Lena Vega has helped him out, I mean, she's basically turned his career around. All signs point to Aleister Black being the man eventually, and I think that the coronation will happen as soon as TakeOver in New Orleans. So I think that that's where they're leading to. Talk about Aleister Black for a second. Talk about Adam Cole. To me, this would have been the match of the night.
Adam who?
Adam Cole, baby.
Exactly.
To me, this would have been the match of the night had we not, followed Gargano and Cien Almas. We'll get to Adam Cole in a bit, but just your thoughts on Aleister Black as, like I said before, the rocket ship or the rocket jetpack is set on this guy. Everyone loves him. Second his entrance comes out, there's a huge pop. This guy has it. He's amazing with his kicks. He's another guy that has it. And we can tell when he has it because he just draws from the crowd. Your thoughts real quick on Aleister Black, and if you think that, my booking is kind of close to what they're thinking right now.
Well, look, you talked about how Braun Strowman was the best booked guy in WWE. I think Aleister Black is the best booked guy in NXT. Everything works from his debut to now. Now that he's talking, he's still not talking a lot, so he's kind of limited in his speech, which I think is a good thing. He speaks more through his actions, but for what he did and the work he did with Adam Cole to what he's been seems to be positioned to now that Drew McIntyre's on the shelf. The sky's the limit with this guy. I know I say that with a lot of people, but I really think the sky's the limit with this guy. He just has this aura about him that the audience is drawn to. Sometimes it always depends if the audience can relate to you, and I think they can relate to him. Not necessarily he's an underdog, but he's this mysterious guy that you're just intrigued. You're at the edge of your seat because you want to see what he'll do next. And, we've seen him in different title types matches. We've seen him in technical matches. We've seen him in matches where he's been dominant. And now we've seen him in a match where it's so barbaric, an Extreme Rules match with Adam Cole, which you have to give a lot of credit also to Adam Cole for working with a guy like Aleister Black. Those two, I think, have great chemistry with each other. But to me, Aleister Black's the limit. I would love to – we spoke about this before Drew McIntyre got injured. It would have been great to see Drew McIntyre and Aleister Black in a main event.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
But to see, Andrade and Aleister, they've worked together before in NXT prior to – Almas' rise to become the champion. I think this is another one, too, similar to Gargano. Man, it's just amazing to me, the talent pool of a guy like Aleister Black, but also the talent pool of a roster like NXT. It's amazing. This is why I think a secondary title is so vital, and that's an argument, that's a discussion for another time, but it's so vital because there's so many people out there. Not everybody can go for the title.
Yeah, and the UK title may end up being that one, but again, that's a story for another show, too, about the...
The sky's the limit for Aleister Black,
exactly.
Though. He's got an it factor.
On the other hand, Adam Cole, I think if you were to ask me and... Let me hear what you think. I think he's paying his dues right now in NXT. He got the big win at War Games. But I think he's kind of paying his dues. I think that he's got to, I don't think they're trying to, you know, ground him a little bit, but I think there's a lot of expectations when he signed. And right now that there's just a long list of people that are ahead of him, and, you know, he's part of Undisputed Era. I just think they're grounding him a little bit because I think they're waiting to see what happens with Aleister Black if Drew McIntyre comes back. There's a lot of people, and now with the additions of Ricochet, Trevor Mann coming in, EC3 that's now going to make his debut in NXT down the road. There's a long list of people, and I think it was great that Adam Cole showed up at the Rumble. That was a nice surprise. I think he's got an amazing upside, but do you think they're grounding him a little bit before they push him to the moon?
Fly me to the moon. That's what you're saying. But I don't think they're
trendsetter to the moon.
Exactly. That's us guys from Las Vegas hearing all those Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra songs as you're driving down the strip. But in terms of Adam Cole, Jeff, I don't know if they're making him pay his dues. I really think right now they're just positioning him. I think in terms of Undisputed Era and the potential could be there, I think they're really focusing on making that faction as strong as it possibly can be. So now they're the tag team champions. I think Adam Cole's place in the NXT roster is right up there. I mean, he kind of proved that with Aleister Black. He's proven that in his matches with Drew McIntyre, and granted they're live events, but he's in the reaction he got at the Royal Rumble. He earned that position for what he did at TakeOver. And the reaction he got from it. So he's well known. I really feel, in my opinion, though, they're looking at Adam Cole, and I joke about his size sometimes, and I'm like, well, he's so undersized from everybody else, but that doesn't matter because true talent shines through, or the old saying, the cream rises to the top. You know, I think they're just positioning him well. I don't think he needs to pay his dues. He's paid his dues for a good amount of time in other promotions out there. They know what he is. They know what he's capable of. I think right now they're just trying to position him because right now there is no space for him in the main event roster because you've had Andrade, you've had Johnny Gargano, and now what's going to happen to Aleister Black. I think timing is the thing right now they're waiting for him. I don't think it's about paying dues at all for him.
You know, obviously Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly aren't paying dues because they're NXT Tag Team Champions. Big win.
Well, they paid some dues against AOP. That was a brutal match.
Authors of pain. But, you know, the Tag Team Division is replenishing in NXT. Just like we said, eventually, you know, TM61 will be back. They're on their way back.
They're back on the roster. They're wrestling again.
Authors of Pain, still viable monsters. And you've got Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. Sanity is still in the mix. So the tag team division is very replenished. Also, Street Profits are there. Riddick Moss, Tino Sabatelli.
Heavy Machinery.
Heavy Machinery. So it's a lot now. So NXT has a bright future. And, of course, which one are you most excited about seeing? War Machine, Ricochet, EC3, Candice LeRae. Who excited you the most when you were there and they were in the audience in Philadelphia at the Wells Fargo?
Honestly, I gave a huge pop for War Machine because you know how I feel about tag team wrestling, Jeff. It's one of my favorite things to watch. Yeah. I appreciate it for what it is. Because I was a huge fan of the Rockers, the Hart Foundation, the British Bulldogs, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm more interested in Ricochet. Now, whether they keep their names, I don't know. Hopefully, they keep their names, especially EC3. He's built that name so long in Impact and TNA. Hopefully, he keeps it. But I'm more interested in Ricochet because, to me, I think he's just a natural talent in the ring. There's nobody like him, which is really rare, too, because when this business is all built on mimicking and mirroring other people,
he's definitely unique.
He's definitely unique. He beats to his own drum in terms of what he can do in the ring. I'm interested to see what his progression is going to be like, because we talked about it before. You know, you have the NXT heavyweight title, you have the women's title, you have the tag team titles. How does Ricochet separate himself to allow people to see his craft? I mean, you got Leo Rush in there, too. Now, he might be getting punished for speaking a little bit off kilter on Twitter.
Leo Rush is off the radar right now.
He's off the radar. But I'm saying he's a natural talent as well. How he separates himself, how he allows himself to be put on NXT TV and draw that crowd into him, because we know his history, but can he translate that on the main roster?
Rockstar Spud makes his debut on 205 Live, too, so that was good to see, too. So this influx of new signees now, you got to imagine somewhere down the road that there will be some cuts, eventually, roster cuts. You don't want to see that, but you have so many people coming in, too. What about the possible signing of Bobby Lashley? Where do you think he fits in if he signs with the WWE? A lot of people say it's imminent. We don't like to break stories and say that it's confirmed until we know 100%. But your thoughts on Bobby Lashley possibly joining WWE?
I think for the temporary fix, it's used more for who's the next competitor for a guy like Brock Lesnar. I think Bobby Lashley fits that bill perfectly. I mean, how many times can you have Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman? Very few times do we see first of anything. Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar have never fought each other in the ring. There are rumors that maybe they fight each other in the cage, in the UFC or a Bellator event. That's not going to happen. So I think this makes sense. You know, for Bobby Lashley and how the time he left, and he was so young when he left WWE at the time, to try to build a career in MMA, has done stuff with Impact and other independent promotions out there. He's kind of building his name up again. I think he has some relevancy behind him. And I think right now I position him against a guy like Brock Lesnar right off the bat because he does give you that presence behind it. How long term it's going to be, I don't know.
It makes sense to bring him to Raw because it was like everybody's going to be on Raw. Rousey's going
to
be on Raw.
But you said it makes sense to bring him on Raw.
It does, but to me, honestly, what I would do is put Seth Rollins, put him on SmackDown Live. Put Finn Balor on SmackDown Live. The land of opportunity, you get Finn Balor and AJ Styles, you get Seth Rollins and AJ Styles, that makes SmackDown Live so much better. There's so much stuff on Raw. It's the land of the Giants. You're going to add Bob Lashley to the land of the Giants, right? So, I mean, again, it just leaves less and less opportunity for Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, which I think, honestly, Seth Rollins, I mean, did not have a good night at the Royal Rumble, and from what everything looks like, it looks like it's going to be a future feud with Jason Jordan. You know, I'm not sure I'm a fan of that, but we'll see what happens down the road. We are on the road to WrestleMania. Yes, looking forward to that. And, of course, news breaking to that WrestleMania could possibly be in our backyard once again. And that would be amazing at MetLife Stadium for WrestleMania 35. Our buddy Brad Shepard has said it that it's a done deal, most likely. And all I got to say is, Trendsetter, are you ready to tailgate next year at MetLife Stadium? If it does happen, WrestleMania 35 coming to New Jersey. Or New York, whatever you want to call it.
Well, they're always going to say New York, New Jersey first. You know, they're not going to say it's in New Jersey. I don't think that
Jersey.
I don't think that has a lot of promotion behind it and enough weight behind it. But, dude, I'm excited for so many reasons. And here's the main reason, guys.
Flight.
Yeah, the flight, the car rentals, all that stuff. We know where the good restaurants are. You know, we have to worry about food and stuff like that. You know, that's aside the point. But, guys, since Jeff and I have been doing this, we've been doing this for almost close to 2 years now. But the thing is, it all started for me at WrestleMania 29, where it was in the same area. Yeah, there was a main event by Rock and Cena, Once in a Lifetime 2, I guess. And I was so sick around that time. First WrestleMania, guys, I had a stomach bug. I felt terrible. I missed out on the Hall of Fame.
In the hospital, like the day before.
I was in the hospital, and I was going to miss out on WrestleMania. I went to WrestleMania regardless. I felt terrible, and that's when I said to Jeff, we're going to do it again for 30. But, you know, this for me means a lot more personally because I have a chance to kind of right the wrong that I felt at WrestleMania 29. So for me, if it's true, I hope it is because it's definitely saved me a lot on travel expenses. But also personally, I want to avenge that terrible feeling I had at WrestleMania 29 where it all started. So definitely looking forward to it if it does arrive in New York, New Jersey. MetLife literally 15 minutes away from us, so it won't be a difficult time getting there. And tailgating, yeah, Jeff, if it happens, I'm going to live it up like there's no tomorrow because at the same time, very rarely does it happen, you know. Does WWE come to these events in cold weather climates? They did last time. They took a risk, and now they might be taking another one, but hopefully ends up being on the good side of it.
Well, listen, I want to thank your stomach for being irritable, because if not, then we wouldn't have gone to 30, and then we made a tradition going to 31, 32, 33, and, you know, New Orleans back again. So, yeah, WrestleMania 35 will be lighter on our wallets, but also be easier commuting, too. Because, again, we could go to the WrestleMania store in, like, 5 minutes. The way this guy drives, it's 15. The way I drive, we'll get there in 5 minutes. So, looking forward to WrestleMania in MetLife Stadium next year. But this year, we are on the road to WrestleMania. One final thing I want to talk about is in New Japan. Because while all the talk was for Royal Rumble weekend, New Japan, the Bullet Club, kind of made a lot of news. And if you saw Being the Elite episode 90, where the Bullet Club is just fine, according to Cody Rhodes, to me, there seems to be a lot of fracture and friction between the Bullet Club, most likely in Kenny Omega and Cody. I mean, you saw Cody kind of turn on Kenny Omega. Adam Page kind of helped. Well,
game of the crossroads. It's more than just kind of turning on
crossroads. Yeah, you really can't draw a line there. He
can't take that crossroads.
No. Adam Page kind of was holding Kenny Omega before Kota Ibushi came down and saved his former tag team partner. So talk about that. Do you think that there's going to be like a separation of the Bullet Club? Do you think it's going to be kind of like the NWO? You have one side being like the Golden Elite with Obushi, the Young Bucks, and Kenny Omega, and the other side with Adam Page and Cody and the rest. Like, what do you think? Is this a tease as they head into Strong Style Evolved here in the States when it comes into March? And also, too, the fact that Kenny Omega lost the title to Jay White. So a lot of big news come out of Japan during Royal Rumble weekend. The news never stops.
No, it doesn't stop. To answer your first question, do I feel it's going to be like the NWO where they're going to do two separate factions? Maybe. I hope not, though, because in a way they've kind of been two separate factions. They call themselves the Elite and then hence to the Bullet Club, so maybe it's an extension of the group. I don't know, but I don't know. I just think this is the right time, the right move. Is as much as it'd be hard to see Kenny Omega not part of the Bullet Club or the Elite, whichever one. I think it's the right time for him right now. He signed a 1-year contract. He's talked about how he wants to change professional wrestling, and you know, losing to Jay White, kind of in a way, I wouldn't say passing the torch, but kind of, you know, he's mentioned it when he tried to include him into the Bullet Club and got betrayed by Jay White, that he reminded him of a young version of him. I think, you know, it's pretty true what Kenny says when he writes on social media. It's time for new beginnings. I think it's time for Kenny to kind of step away and be a single star on his own, which he's kind of has been, but he always had the Bullet Club behind him to kind of give him support. I think right now for him to do this, you and I talked about it. Does this allow him to now maybe make a run one more time for the heavyweight title? Does he try to go after the U.S. title again, which most likely he will? So it brings up all these questions. And what's great about Jeff professional wrestling, especially what New Japan does, is that it produces these questions that you and I are now talking about. So ultimately, I think there's an underlying tension between Cody and Kenny. It was evident they built that up. And then this is just the end result. I think it should culminate between Kenny and Cody. At what point, I don't know. But yeah, I think it's time for the Bullet Club or the Elite kind of to move in another direction. And I think that has to do with Kenny Omega.
I think it could have waited another year, but like you said, Kenny signs a 1-year contract, yeah. So you don't know what his feeling is going to be. I just think with the marketing, I think maybe you can sell more shirts, I guess, by having a different group of the Bullet Club, one side being the Elite and the other Bullet Club. So it works there as marketing-wise. It's just crazy because they have the all-in show, too, that Kenny Omega is going to be a part of. So how does that work? Could it be maybe that literally they can iron things out and Cody and Kenny can come to an agreement, which I find that not to be the case. But it's just crazy stuff coming out of Japan. Also, too, not only that, because of all the events that happened here, Strong Style Evolved in Long Beach, California. Tickets sold out in 20 minutes. So the fans here in the U.S. kind of know what's going on here. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. So you got to stay tuned to New Japan. Also, Ring of Honor, too, will have their set of tapings. And everything will eventually intersect. Everything will meet in New Orleans for WrestleMania weekend, because everyone will be there, of course, and so will we. Looking forward to that. And like the trendsetter said, we are on the road to WrestleMania. Man, it just gets here faster and faster each year.
It does, but in good respects that we're constantly busy every single year now, so that's why it's going by faster. I suppose the years before, it was a long wait and see what was going to happen, and the slow build-up towards an event that couldn't get here soon enough. So with those respects, it's exciting because, you know, there's just always something to talk about. And this weekend was an indication, Jeff, that, you know, whether people are talking about Royal Rumble weekend, they're talking about what's going on WrestleMania, we're talking about New Japan, talking about Ring of Honor here. There's just so much out there, and especially the independent scene here in the New York metropolitan area and all over the world. It just has, a shot of new blood in it, new adrenaline that it's going to allow us to, you know, be doing this for a really long time, hopefully, but also just gives other avenues for talent that, you know, maybe aren't in Ring of Honor right now, aren't in Impact, aren't on Lucha Underground, aren't in WWE, aren't in New Japan Wrestling, to give them the olive branch there that we have a chance to talk to them. So when they do make it to those platforms, everybody here listening to, especially you guys, the crew, will know who they are.
We are the experience known as the High Spot Podcast. We want to thank Cheap Pops Podcast Network for allowing us to be on their platform. Thanks so much to Brian Fritz, also Michael Weissman. You can hear them on Between the Ropes. Make sure you catch their amazing shows, too. The other shows that are on this amazing network, you can catch the Cosmetic Geppetto. Brad and Kyle will talk about Vince McMahon and the XFL in their past episodes. You got Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. That's Stu Myers with Justin Simmons. There are two guys from Austin, Texas talking about professional wrestling. Also, Stick It to the Gimmick, Spencer Davis. Davies and Martin Harp. They talk NXT, as well as to the Shining Wizards network, as well as B Plus Player Radio Networks. You can hear Destruction 101, A Drink with Gino, A Genuine Taste of Wrestling, and Outsiders Podcast with Mark Adam Haggerty. So much to discuss. Next week, Chad Minnis will be our guest. He is from Standalone Wrestling. That promotion debuts on February the 24th. He'll talk about the card, headlined by Tennille Dashwood, formerly known as Emma. And we'll have a few surprises on the show, too, next week. Next time you can catch us will be February the 3rd.
Yeah.
We will be in Rahway, New Jersey. We're bracing for Impact. WrestlePro and Impact Wrestling begin their partnership with an amazing show headlined by Tennille Dashwood, Emma, taking on Angelina Love in the first women's main event for WrestlePro. So many stars will be there. Alberto El Patron will be there. Eli Drake, Fala Ba. So many of the Impact stars, as well as the established talent like Dan Moff from WrestlePro. So many names. We will be there. We will be covering the event. Trendsetter, are you excited for Bracing for Impact, for Brace for Impact?
Definitely excited. You know why? Because I spoke about this. I tweeted about it. I put it on Facebook, although I'm not on it that often. That might be a new New Year's resolution for me to kind of be on social media a little bit more. Because here's the thing. Jeff, we were there for the final show in 2017 for WrestlePro. What a way to end it, right? And now for the fact that starting the first show for WrestlePro in 2018, they have this type of star-studded card lined up for Rahway, New Jersey. You know, them theoretically going to be blowing the roof off that place. It's just great signs and indications of what the future holds for WrestlePro, and what a way to start at 2018. If they ended in a bang, they're ending in a boom. They're starting with a boom in 2018.
Yeah, you can catch our interview with the voice of WrestlePro, Dave Sturcio. He joined us on our last YouTube channel episode. Catch that on our YouTube channel. Make sure you follow, like, and subscribe. We also, on the February the 10th, we will be at Capital Wrestling in Hoboken, New Jersey. Looking forward to that. So many things on the horizon for the Jersey Wrecking Crew as we are on the road to WrestleMania. Our schedule is getting really hectic, folks. So also make sure
that... Isn't it great?
It is, right? It is. It's better than having an
It's better than me having lonely Saturday nights by myself.
Yeah, and make sure that and make sure you
it's so pitiful for me to say that.
Why, man? I mean, it's not so bad. Not so bad being single and saving your money, trust me. Your wallet's a lot fuller than mine.
I'll take your word for it, Jeff.
So yeah, man, our schedule is going to be full, of course, and you know, Standalone Wrestling on February the 24th as well. So many things to discuss in the near future. Looking forward to it, man. And again, we thank Sawyer Fulton for joining us on this week's show. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter Brian Berga. Catch us this Saturday, Rahway, New Jersey. Brace for Impact. And remember, all this we do it for none other than the crew.